having a hard time moving things along?
Yes! It's like my anus is stuck in reverse.
Does the cold touch of porcelain fill you with existential dread?
The sensation reminds me of all of my failures.
Have you tried yelling at God with no intestinal relief in sight?
Well, if any of you are stuffed up back there like a slutty Thanksgiving turkey,
then do we have the product for you.
It's the brand new,
spectacular,
mildly toxic,
liquid shotgun antimony pill. That's right, the little metal laxative that our ancestors used in the Middle Ages is now available right over the counter.
We've been smelting the finest carcinogenic alloy that non-union workers with no health benefits can smelt.
Wait, are we supposed to talk about the cancer?
Now, I know what you're thinking at home, but don't worry. We know how annoying it is to rummage through your big pile of victory after the pill has worked its magic when it's time to retrieve your little antimony buddy.
Right. Which is why we made the liquid shotgun antimony pill even bigger. To make sure you always find it so you can reuse it the next time nature doesn't call you back.
Ugh, I'm so lonely.
But don't take it from us. Listen to these testimonies.
Liquid shotgun antimony pill helped me loosen up before my big presentation. Sure, some blood and blue bile came out, but that's a small price to pay to feel this empty inside.
Taking care of 11 cats, I don't have time to make sure I'm regular. It's always meow this, meow that, and the mailman knows that you know that he knows that you can understand what the cats are saying, John. Get off the fucking table, Mr. Biscuits! But now, since taking the liquid shotgun antimony pill, I don't have to care anymore. I really don't. Stop meowing. Daddy's taking some tuna melts.
Oh yeah, I take the liquid shotgun antimony pill. I wasn't constipated or anything before. I'm hoping the known toxins in the antimony kills me.
Those are great, aren't they? Truly great.
Truly.
Truly great.
Wow, you really can't beat results like that, can you?
Probably could if you tried.
So remember, when you're having a hard time summoning the brown genie,
InfoCast 5000 has your back.
And your butthole.
With the liquid shotgun antimony pill.
Hey everybody, this is InfoCast 5000.
Hi everybody, this is InfoCast 5000.
Okay.
I'm your host, Sam Acuff.
I am also a very confused host, Baron Malley.
What do we do, Baron?
This is the podcast where we dive into the history of things familiar to everybody. Join us as we try to figure out why everything exists.
And as the title suggests, this is Dirty Bits.
Dirty Bits. It's dirty a very bits. Dirty Bits.
You've entered the Dirty Bit Zone.
Just, you know, if you're listening to this right now, have a seat on the toilet. Maybe take off your pants if they weren't already off
because you're listening to InfoCast.
Some people like to sit on the toilet with pants on. I'm not judging.
I think that's weird. Dirty Bits. What is Dirty Bits, Sam? It is about time to answer that. What is Dirty Bits? I'm glad you asked. Dirty Bits is the extra stuff that didn't fit into a normal episode.
Huh.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Whoa. You should, because it's your podcast.
Blowing colons and minds.
Your name's on this, so you should know it. But so this is... No, right over my head. If you're tuning in, I recommend listening to the laxative episode proper first. Unless you just like scattered fun tidbits about history, then you're at the right place all the same. As we shower you.
Oh, laxatives is so much fun.
Greasy,
though.
Smelly facts that we're going to expel onto your face.
That makes me think of a shower that I took about 5 years ago. I had been drinking a lot of Long Island iced teas and, you know, things got a little weird, Sam. Things got a little weird.
Remember Aloha?
They sold the, no, that's what I'm talking about.
The Aloha bar the basement with the Strong Island iced teas.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, buddy.
Remember the time I woke up on the bridge after the Strong Island iced teas?
No, I wasn't there. I mean, I remember
No one was
story.
There. I woke up alone.
you told me you tried to go through the McDonald's
drive-through without a car. And
demanded they gave you burgers.
They gave me no burgers. And then I slept on the bridge or under the bridge, I forget.
I have a couple of things to talk about. Number one, let's go into a little bit about the history of the humble enema, because I don't think we're gonna have a full episode on it, so let's
never say
talk
never
about it. Well, now we're not. I'm destroying that right now.
I will fight you.
I'm
on
flushing
that.
It down. Well, you know, I'm sure there's other details that we can go into, but this is a quick and dirty bits is what I'm getting
okay
to about enemas, aka one of the oldest medical procedures in history. The Egyptians, of course, were no slouches in the enema department, and you might remember from the laxatives episode, the anus shepherds.
Seems like ages ago.
Yeah. It's been about a week and a half.
Good old days. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, we had fun.
All right, about my favorite people in the world, the anus
shepherds.
What?
So you remember the anus shepherds, and hopefully everybody out there is listening do too, who were largely there to jam a hollow leg bone up your booty hole.
What?
That's what an enema was back in the day. We're going to talk a little bit about, like,
they just sodomized you till you shat?
No, but... No, the leg bone was hollow.
Make it make sense.
Oh, I will.
To me.
I will. It,
okay,
stay
so
tuned.
Sodomy doesn't count if it's a hollow object?
I don't. Is sodomy...
That's a loophole I'd argue with you about in court.
We're going to get into maybe the philosophical repercussions of what sodomy actually is, but I mean, I guess, yes, they would sodomize you with the leg bone.
Sodomy is okay, I think. If you're into it, if it's
sure.
consensual sodomy.
Sure. For some reason, I was associating it, I guess cultural biases or whatever.
Well, I don't know about you, but like they always say it on Law and Order in like a negative context.
Yeah.
But they also, I think like in the Bible, they reference it as just butt sex.
This man was sodomized with a leg bone.
Bom, bom, bom. Bom, 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 bom.
Anyway, so yeah, they would do that. Ain't a shepherd's.
Is that
there.
The end of your story? They just
no.
You just
no,
saw an
there's
article,
more.
And they're like, "Okay, go on." I can't wait.
There's way more. There's way more than that. Stay tuned. There's at least half a page of this stuff. So, fun fact about the shepherds: these were actually quote unquote doctors who were titled as specialists.
Wait. Were they human leg bones?
It was not mentioned as them being specifically human.
Okay, that's okay.
I think you need a long leg bone, though. If you're going to go...
Get a tall Egyptian.
Velocity counts in enemas.
How long
you
are these leg bones?
You got to build up speed.
Were they giraffe leg bones?
I don't know. They did not mention a specific animal.
Just saying the word camel bone in my head before I said out loud made my butt hurt. That feels like it'd be a big bone.
Well, it comes to a point eventually.
No, they're sharp, knuckly on both sides. Bones.
What? Are they? Oh, yeah. I guess they are.
Yeah.
They probably did
picture
something
a cartoon. They got the lumps.
They had grease, man. You're going to be okay.
So there's got to be another way, doctor.
So a fun fact about these anus shepherds.
Look, I'm all about trying something once, but can we start with a smaller bone?
You got to build up to it.
Yeah.
What do you think the impetus of the bad dragon tattoos were?
What?
You don't know about bad dragon tattoos?
No.
They're,
is it about
look
sodomy?
It up. Look at it. It is. Yes. There's a. It can be.
All right.
Yeah.
We're what? Like 10 minutes in now. We haven't gotten past. Where are we? We're 12. We're a couple of 12-year-olds. You just even bring up shoving a bone up someone's ass, and I'm lost.
Hey, I challenge anybody out there to keep a straight face while they're talking about farts and poops. Okay.
Adults.
Who?
With jobs.
Ooh,
real jobs.
You think Joe Biden would love
like
a
banker,
joke.
like a hedge fund manager.
Yeah. Well, those guys
would keep a straight face.
Those guys are sociopaths anyway, man.
That's why they
Anyway, so there was The fun fact about these shepherds is that they were actually doctors who were titled as specialists, quote unquote doctors, because, you know, they were just throwing leg bones into holes. But so they had shepherds, not just shepherds of the anus, but shepherds of the left eye or shepherds of the fingers, that sort of thing. And they were usually only reserved for royalty only.
Sometimes the shepherd of the anus needed to rent the shepherd of the fingers for prostate exams.
Excuse me, sir. Did you call a shepherd of the anus into your pyramid just now? Because here I am.
Oh, man. That doesn't work for audio. Your creepy fingers don't work for audio.
I have weird fingers, just for everybody listening out there.
Yeah, I hope that made it funny.
I'll post it on Instagram. So these leg bones had animal bladders attached to them because they didn't have rubber back then. So that was the thing that she squeezed to make the liquid come out was animal bladder. So
it was a camel leg with an intestine at the end, and they shot acid up there? What?
I didn't come across what they actually used. I think, like, judging by the taxidermy episode when we were talking about how they made
mummies.
Probably
just salt water.
Yeah, it could be salt water. Could be spices. Maybe cumin.
A little lavender would be nice up there.
Yeah, you gotta spruce up the old homestead.
Yeah, a little je ne sais quoi, you know?
So just because royalty had the anus shepherd, that's not to say that enemas weren't big for the everyday Egyptian as well.
I don't want
to
hear what
everyone got the old squirt. So the Egyptians were so into enemas that the Greeks wrote passages revering the anal cleanliness of the Egyptians. How did they know? Maybe it was pretty obvious. Maybe they checked buttholes. I don't know. I'm assuming back then you could probably tell between somebody that smelled like shit and somebody that did it. You can tell today, but
I don't know why those guys live in the desert. I don't get it. It don't make no sense to me. It seems like a hard way of life, but you know what? They're assholes. Mwah. They're cleanest assholes you ever seen.
Yeah, they got the best assholes.
They got the best assholes. I'm telling you, Giuseppe Caesar. Giuseppe Caesar, the nicest assholes. We got to go sometime.
I used to check my hair in the reflection of one of their assholes.
Yeah, you just say asshole check and they just bend over and you could. They love it. They show it off. It's like a handshake.
What's the word? The tradition of cleanliness, anal cleanliness, this caught fire with the Greeks as well. And soon this, of course, spread to the Romans. And soon everybody
Giuseppe Caesar made me start thinking maybe my asshole is not where it should be. You know, maybe I need to start thinking about my asshole.
You know, I've been meaning to say something about your asshole, boss.
I heard, okay? Understood.
I've been looking at it while you were
sleeping.
Which
brings me to my next thing. I need to ask you a favor. I got this camel bone from Egypt. Now, we're close, but we're about to get camel close, if you know what I'm saying. Here, hold this bladder.
I'm moving on now. So, and just like laxatives, enemas from the Egyptians to the Romans were viewed as a cure-all for everything a person was suffering from. Not sure how they justified that when someone was dying from exploding eye syndrome or something like that, and running a bunch of water and incense into their asshole didn't cure them, but that's how they justified it.
Well, from the research we did for the main episode, I you know, enemas came up. People feel great after enemas. So, and there was a lot of talk about placebo effects, like kind of being a problem in early medicine where people would think an enema or something we're going to talk about later is surgery, like corrective surgery for cleaning yourself out, is great short term. So if someone's dying of an infection in their arm or something, and you give them an enema and they just feel fucking great.
I don't even notice the infection.
Well, they're going to feel good. They're not going to be sick to their stomach maybe anymore. Or maybe they'll feel like they have this new energy and it's like a false positive.
That could very well be. I know. Sometimes I get a little stuffed up. And let me tell you something. I sit on my toilet, which I haven't.
If you're
been
about
day.
To describe pooping to me, we're going to move on. All right. I'm going to go next.
I'm not done yet.
Oh, there's more?
There's more. Oh, there's God. More.
Okay.
It was looked at as such a powerful rite of honor that hardcore rituals would be based around this act. So we're talking prayer and candles and singing and drums, the whole deal. As it moved from culture to culture, enemas were a huge thing. The Mayans and the Peruvians of the ancient Americas, they took it a step further. They saw the enema thing, I guess, drift, migrate from ancient Egyptian culture. And they were like, how can we take this a step further? Let's party.
How do we pump it up?
So it seems like that they used the enema for the obvious health tool that it was, but it also was a way to get fucking wasted without waiting for the stomach to metabolize.
Did they butt chug?
They absolutely poured alcoholic beverages in there. They poured hallucinogenic, you! Like whatever. Mayans partied, man.
I'm gonna get blasted in my ass tonight. Get fucked up.
Hey man, you see my camel bone anywhere?
Yo, hit this bone real quick, man.
Some Native American tribes, they use tobacco as part of their enema solution, which seems harsh. I don't know how that could be.
That
good.
For some reason seems just fucking hardcore.
Yeah. That's nicotine right to the asshole.
That's just, yeah, they smoke cigarettes out the ass. Are you actually telling me? Hold on, back up. Are you telling me they smoke tobacco out their ass?
No, they like tobacco's, you know this, tobacco's a plant. So they just put it
in
there.
Wait, it's what?
Shut up. So they put it in their liquid solution. They did not smoke.
Oh, cigarettes. Well. As long. Sorry. I'm just picturing like a Native American with like a cigarette now hanging out of his ass.
Although I did know one dude who could inhale air so that he could use it for fart ammo, which I've never seen.
Yeah, that's like
else.
Super common. That's such
really?
A far. Yeah, it's such a far divergence.
I've always wanted that power.
Assy McGee smoking a cigarette with a fucking tomahawk on.
I'm just trying to figure out how it would be physically possible, and that's the step that I'm taking to get there.
Here, take a breath in. It's the opposite of that.
So it seems like after that, enemas fell by the wayside in European culture for a while until it was brought back into vogue by Louis XIV. Of course, this fucking guy who had a slight addiction to being flushed out. So it said that Louis.
I get it, buddy. You get a kink and you run with it.
So it said that Louis would go have a meeting with the tube after every meal. And according to historians who counted, the number of enemas Louis must have got in his lifetime probably went well past the thousands.
Yeah.
He was into it.
They called it taking a Louis. Yeah.
You know, I think I've heard that before.
Yeah.
I'm not even joking.
I'm gonna go take a spin with the Louis. I'm gonna go swimming
why
with
does
Louis.
That, why does that sound so natural?
I'm gonna go on a bike ride with Louis.
I'm gonna take a bath with Louis.
Yeah,
it sounds natural.
I'm gonna go water the plants with Louis.
I love it. So Louis brought the enema back in style for the common man, who must have used it in conjunction with the antimony and the rhubarb that was also going on at the time. So as an anecdote here, it is noted in writings that the Duchess of Bourgogne would go to parties and stand and have a fucking chat with you while one of her servants came up and gave her an enema.
That is fucking...
Can you imagine that?
I'd go to that party. I would go to that party. Right now, I'm telling you. I've been to that party in college.
I just want to know, was she standing up or sitting down? I can't like picture in my mind's eye her doing it.
They probably did one of those like partitions.
Oh, yeah. Damn it. I you know what?
No, it wasn't like an eyes wide shut thing, dude.
I had this whole scene set up like, oh yeah, the weather was good today. And like some little guy runs up and just plunk, like, was, oh yeah, you know,
did you just envision a dwarf as a part of this?
Yeah, well,
like he runs under her skirt, like, and then.
That kind of makes it funnier, but just a sneaky man. I wasn't like. not necessarily a dwarf.
Where is my sneaky man?
Some guy dressed all in black, like a stagehand that moved the.
So she wants to be or he wants to be support. No, she. She wants to be surprised. That's part of it for you.
I think they know.
A
I think
tiny
it's
enigmatic
cues.
Ninja.
Maybe she does like a little hand signal.
This is turning into Ocean's 11, but with Dookie. Comes in on one of those like those dollies for mechanics.
Yeah.
Just like scooting past guests. He's got like two tiny bones, just like he's using them as like poles, like for skiing.
They had big dresses back then.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a partition. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sorry. The last bit is what you didn't know is behind the partition, she's standing on a glass table and Louis XIV's under.
Louis would do that.
Yeah. Louis's a fucking freak and we love him.
Enemas may be not as common today as they once were, but no New Age health craze would be complete without one. And I am specifically referring to Miss Janet Jackson herself, who would shout the praises of a coffee enema per day, of saying that it cured her of depression by washing away her sad cells. And before you, pun intended, poo-poo that, it might have some basis, in fact. And there have been studies showing that gut microbes can interact via neurotransmitter with all the thousands of nerve cells down there and produce chemicals implicated in depression and happiness. So if you're feeling down or you just want to party, just remember what goes in one end can go in the other as well.
I got nothing. I mean, compared to what her brother did, I think that's fine. No. She wants to shoot coffee up her ass. It's great. You go, girl.
I think the most interesting thing there, and you can tell me it's batshit or not. This is all just, you know, who knows what's New Age and what, you know, in the world of misinformation we live in. But I think there is some basis to the gut microbes having some connection with your mood and how you feel in general, you know?
Yeah. Like we talked about in the last episode, how you have serotonin or dopamine receptors in your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not dopamine. I might have the wrong, whatever, opioid receptors.
Right.
In your stomach, which is why there's such a link between constipation and opioid use. And there's that shot that you have to get to counteract the constipation that's onset from opioids. That makes total sense to me. Because they're the same kind of sensors that, if they're the same kind of sensors that the opioids affect your mood, then why wouldn't coffee in your asshole make you feel better? Is all I'm saying.
Which is why, if you want to be my personal sneaky enema guy.
Your sneaky man. Your enema ninja.
My enema ninja.
Yeah.
Please email infocast5000@gmail.com.
Yeah. That's the newest Mortal Kombat character, by the way. It's like a shorter scorpion. And yeah.
Oh, man. Enema Ninja is definitely a tiny scorpion with the, like, instead of yellow, though, it's brown suit.
It's brown. It's got to be a brown suit.
All right. What you got for dirty bits, son?
I'm done. That's all. So we mentioned him in the last episode, but he didn't really fit in very well with the script. So I thought he'd be a great candidate for Dirty Bits. Sir William Arbuthnot Lane. Arbuthnot Lane.
It's funny because there's butt in his name.
Yep, there's butt in his name. Can only humor you for so long. So Sir William Arbuthnot Lane was born July 4th, 1856 in Fort George, Scotland. His early education was also in Scotland. His father, who was a military officer, moved the family around quite a bit. And possibly in connection with this, his father arranged for him to enter Guy's Hospital. Guy's Hospital, it's not like a hospital for guys, it's the name of the hospital. At age of 16 for medical training, possibly either because it was more fiscally viable for him to just send him to boarding school, or it was just cheaper than moving him around. Either way, it seemed to be, I looked it up, pretty common if you could afford it, to just send your kid off to a specialized boarding school to learn a trade. And back then, surgeon was a trade.
I am not letting any teenager operate on me.
Well, you start at 16 as an assistant. You don't actually operate on anyone until 19. So calm down.
Oh, okay.
He was apparently shy and had a youthful appearance even at a young age. So like when he was 16, he looked like he was 12. And it created a bunch of problems for him and his fellow students and for patients, because no patients like you didn't want a 12-year-old working on him. Nonetheless, he quickly got recognized, though, for his abilities, and he was very intelligent. And by 1877, he qualified at Guy's Hospital as a member of the Royal College of Surgeons.
Okay, I was about to call him Dr. Cutie Pants, but sounds like Mr. Cutie Pants has outgrown his britches a little bit.
So that's 20. That's 21 at that point.
He's getting so big. So big.
He's 21 years old.
Yeah, he's such an adult.
Okay. So by 21, he became a fellow and would go on to receive a Bachelor of Medicine and then later a Master of Surgery. Both degrees came from the University of London. So among other accomplishments, he pioneered internal fixation of displaced fractures, some of those techniques we still use today, reconstructive procedures for cleft palates. He developed the no-touch procedure of surgery because he was around for the era of discovering germs. And he designed several long-handled surgical tools that, later permutations of these are still used today as well. He was also known for his emphasis on preventative medicine through healthy diet and his prolificacy of colon resection procedures, which is what we're going to talk about today.
He turned your colon in. Have you seen Labyrinth, the movie?
Yeah. I'm just a worm. Who, me? I'm just a worm.
Imagine that, but your colon.
Not quite, but I like that you brought up Labyrinth.
I'm just picturing him like maybe Tetris.
I like picturing him as David Bowie. Totally.
That might work, but I'm just picturing like he's making Tetris out of your intestines.
It's a little bit like that, yeah. So a colon resection is a surgical procedure in which a part of your intestine's bowels is removed from either the small intestine or the large intestine. And to avoid just this becoming a technical podcast, there's a different term for whether it's small or large intestine. There's a lot of medical jargon that goes into this that I didn't include, so I'm going to be using layman's terms for all this. Nowadays, bowel resections may be performed to treat very serious conditions such as gastrointestinal cancer, bowel necrosis, or Crohn's disease. However, this skilled surgeon happened to be active during the height of an era of auto intoxication, which, of course, was one of the worst conditions a person could contract in the turn of the century.
There's no way anybody could fanatically devote themselves to something that might seem a little iffy medical-wise, right, Sam?
Absolutely not, especially not in the 1900s or 19th century.
Thank God. Yeah. Thank God. A rational person.
Mm-hmm. We didn't inject animals with poo-poo. That was one of yours, right? And so the latter years of Lane's career actually focused largely on the concept of intestinal intoxication, auto-intoxication.
Yes, of course it did.
Lane hypothesized that the colon was used solely to store waste and regulate elimination through fight-or-flight stimulation only.
What?
He also believed evolution of quadruped primates into biped Homo sapiens complicated this mechanism. The stress of the upright human on the transverse colon combined with the simple force of gravity slowed transit and the slowing of solid waste, which then created toxins in your belly and permeated into the rest of your body.
Wait, so you're saying, he was saying you only need to shit when you're in flight or flight mode?
No, that's when we work, that's when our gastrointestinal system works best.
Oh, well, if you live a comfy, seems rational.
So if you lead a comfortable life where you're not constantly in fight or flight mode, shit starts to slow up. Like animals are constantly in one or the other, you know?
You get the spackle.
What?
If you're not in flight or fight mode, you get the spackle,
the poop spackle, the spackle
all up in, yeah,
yeah,
just filling in those nooks and crannies, never get it out.
The poop,
yeah, you get like 20-year-old poo in there.
Uh huh. Yep.
20. I get it. 20. I understand.
Poo? Yep. Okay. You sure? Are you sure you understand it? All right. After Lane proposed his theory of intestinal stasis, a test of his hypothesis had to be done. And the chosen procedure was a colectomy.
It really didn't have to be done.
It had to be done. Or the surgical removal of all or part of the colon. In a series of surgical experiments, Lane removed sections of the colon from patients exhibiting various symptoms he hypothesized were linked to auto-intoxication. He marked on the abrupt change in the patients after surgery, 39 cases were contained in the series of tests, and he described great improvement, noting many patients claimed they felt better than they had in years. Following this test, which was published in 1908 in an article titled Remarks on the Operative Treatment of Chronic Constipation in the British Medical Journal. Colon resection quickly spread in popularity through Europe and the United States.
Obviously, poop is going to move more efficiently when you turn the intestines into a straight line down.
He didn't give you a straight pipe. He didn't turn you into like a standpipe in your stomach.
That's basically what he's trying to do. He's working towards that goal.
You would get impacted, and he would cut out the part that was in. He would like feel around for the solid poop, the poop-filled intestine, and cut that part out.
The 20-year-old stuff. The vintage.
Yeah, the spackle, if you will. It was so popular, he was even invited to speak at the International Congress in New York in 1911 on the subject of Lane's disease, as many started calling it at this time.
What, auto-intoxication?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it actually started becoming Lane's disease. That then got co-opted for another disease that's still prevalent today. Lane recalls that his talk received perhaps the greatest ovation he's ever had. So he was the bee's knees. He was the tits. Everyone believed it. This is, if you remember, 1890 to 1920, the fear of constipation was prevalent. Everyone was afraid they were going to die of auto intoxication. This guy said that he had a great emergency cure with immediate results, and you got to feel cool as a surgeon because you got to get in there, cut shit out, and people felt great immediately, like an enema.
I think it's problematic when you get into he is the one deciding what is the impacted shit and what isn't. I mean, I'm sure he probably did help some people.
Well, you feel the shit in there.
Yeah.
Of all of the parts, that's the one that he can confirm.
Well, we're going off of what his point of view was from what he said. You know, who's there? What I'm saying is I need a second opinion on this, on how impacted.
Are you saying he fabricated the results? Are you saying he brown pilled people?
I think there's a possibility there was some brown pilling going on. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You think he fudged the results?
I mean, I'm not saying whether he did or not. I'm just saying that if you're the only guy controlling the flow of the information, you can make the information say whatever the fuck you want.
Well, he was sharing the results. He went through like the proper stages of the scientific process. What is it?
Scientific process. But call me cynical. We've talked about too many shady scientists doing shady ass things during this era.
Yeah, reading multiple articles on this guy and excerpts of books. People liked him generally. I know that we kind of implied that he had some problematic views. Out of context, they do, but I don't really think that he was a racist. I think he just kind of had a really bad worldview, like a very limited, very Western colonizer kind of, which again, sounds bad, but I think he just was ignorant.
He would just scare people that disagreed with him and made them shit their pants.
Well, under the threat of cutting out their stomach. Yeah, a lot of people got better real quick. A combination of consistent resurfacings of symptoms in colon resection patients and the steady decline of the belief in intestinal stasis and auto-intoxication by the 1920s ultimately resulted in the use of colon resectioning for constipation to become a thing of the past.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's good.
But by then, between 1900 and 1920, Lane had rooted out or just outright destroyed the colons of hundreds of constipated patients.
Because he was
averaging like 60 or 70 patients a year.
He was doing like loop-de-loops in there.
He wasn't as bad as the guy that commercialized the lobotomy, if you remember him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't that bad. He wasn't doing like three a day, but he was scheduling a lot.
It makes me think about like you know those hamster pipes that you can get. It just made he had like a whole bunch of those and just connected them, you know, from stomach to the bottom of the colon.
Your mind is in a dark place tonight, man.
I don't know how that's dark.
It's like an Ed Gein hamster cage. Are you picturing?
It's colorful. It's plastic.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's not plastic. It's skin. It's tissue. It's human body parts that,
it's fine if it's in my head.
He maintained until the very end of his career that his streamlining of the human drainage system was the most effective surgical procedure known to us during his time as a surgeon. he was still had kind of had a God complex. But I hear a lot of surgeons do. I don't know any surgeons personally, but I hear a lot of them do. Also, if you're a surgeon out there listening, write in. Do you have a God complex? Let us know. Not ready to give up on his theories of auto-intoxication, however, he later became interested in the impact that roughage had on the intestinal stasis. This built on his previous theories that our evolution as quadrupeds impacted our ability to properly expel waste. He founded the New Health Society, which focused on social medicine, toured Europe, and gave lectures about the benefits of fruits, vegetables, sunshine, and exercise. Accompanying this, Lane also had a distinctive theoretic argument for identifying constipation as solely a disease for civilization. He stated it was the living habits of people in the developed world that wreaked the most havoc on the colon's anatomy in a way that was not suffered by quote-unquote savage races, which was not widely accepted by other medical institutions, mostly because he had done no statistical comparisons of disease incidences in developed versus undeveloped countries. Nonetheless, he became convinced that both constipation and a number of ailments common to Europe and America existed at low levels among, quote, uncivilized populations.
He was just saying stuff because he thought it was true.
Well, it turns out he just read a bunch of studies and reports done by English doctors in India that were unsubstantiated, and not all, some of them were substantiated. It sounded like some of them were discredited later, but regardless, a lot of it wasn't pertinent to gastrointestinal related illnesses. He was just kind of taking out the information in between, you know, he's like reading between the lines and pulling out what was pertinent to his theories. Again, brown pilling. But this guy, I, in case anyone does know of him, he's revered as this great guy because even his surgeries, his colon surgeries, the removals are still used today for diseases that it's pertinent for, like necrosis and cancer. And because he did it so much and so well, a lot of those techniques stuck around till today. Like, he revolutionized a lot of that. And just to go back, he revolutionized fixing facial disfigurements, primarily cleft palates, internal bone fractures. One article said that he was truly one of the earliest, quote, general surgeons there were.
Well, I think it keeps coming up time and time again. And it's something that I personally wrestle with because my dinosaur brain says, like, black, white, only exist evil, good.
That's good. That's a good character. favorite character here so far.
That's how my brain talks to me on the inside of my head.
I believe that 100%.
Colors. At the end of the day, you know, a lot of these people that we've talked about throughout this podcast and we'll continue to talk about have contributed a lot to modern society, but also have done some shitty things and said some shitty things and thought some shitty things. So,
and sometimes they get statues in parts of the city that everyone's so confused what to do with.
And that's when you need to talk to your inner caveman, and black, he will decide.
White.
Good. Bad.
I think to be safe, we should just take all statues down. Start new.
I'm cool with that.
We need more statues after, like, Nintendo characters up. Maybe some, even 90s TV shows. Like, let's get the characters of, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer in there. Like, a good Spike statue down in Town Hall.
Okay, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Teletubbies.
Teletubbies.
Let's get the Teletubbies.
You always bring it back to Teletubbies.
Teletubbies are non-racial. Everybody loves Teletubbies.
Or Bobby from King of the Hill. You know what? I'm going to go there. Last phrase I'll leave you with from him, Sir Lane, is his favorite thing that he liked to say was, the whiter the bread, the sooner you're dead.
Well,
I think he was crazy, is what I'm going to say. I think you can be talented. You can be talented, intelligent, successful, and prolific, and be crazy. You can be all of those things.
Well, the weird thing is about that is he probably took, because most people most people were racist at the time, right? So you got to think, like, he probably took a shitload of crap from the establishment for that particular
view. Shitload of crap? Really? Yeah. That's your choice of words right now. You think we haven't had enough of the shit puns?
Well, you know, I was, that wasn't even intentional. That's just caveman again. Mm-hmm. But he probably was...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Societal consensus on these other civilizations was probably... And also, this is pre-internet age. This is pre-television. You only know what people are telling you. You know, the quote-unquote doing your own research didn't exist yet, really. You were just relying on, other people's observations. And if those other people making these observations are coming back and mostly problematic and hate-filled views or just condescending or... I don't know the right word for it, but... wrong ways to interpret these other societies, you're probably, it's going to influence the way that you view them too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Fake news.
Is that Dirty Bits? A Dirty Bits episode?
Is that all of it? Yeah, I have a quick bit.
What you got?
Remember castor oil?
Do I ever?
Yeah. So castor oil in the last episode, it's one of the oldest natural laxatives out there. It's a stimulant, basically.
Because it's poisonous as fuck.
It's poisonous as fuck. It comes from the castor bean. And if you eat castor beans raw, they'll fucking kill you. Ricin is in the beans. And when you process them, like you squeeze them for the oil, you get ricinolic acid, which binds to your stomach in a way that causes it to spasm until you shit yourself uncontrollably. Aside from being used as laxatives, the other bits that I found in the history of castor oil was a lot that came up of them being used as a method of torture. And I just have some of those examples here.
Oh, I could see that.
Yep. You just force people to drink castor oil and then they shit themselves and it sucks.
Some people do it for fun, though.
Not these people. Colonial officials used it in the British Raj in India to punish reluctant servants.
So the same... British doctors that influenced Lane, writing the papers that influenced Lane are out here like feeding castor oil to the Indians just to see what would happen.
What's the problem? show me the problem.
There's history.
I don't get it. Belgian military officials prescribed heavy doses of castor oil to subordinates in the Belgian Congo as punishment for being, quote, too sick to work.
So they made them sicker?
Yeah, I think if they were like calling their bluff, like, oh, you're sick. Okay. So they would prescribe them castor oil to really make them sick.
I'd rather be shitting than working.
I think it's a pretty uncomfortable kind of shit.
I've never, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think if you overdose on castor oil, it hurts. It's not good. Have you taken laxatives ever?
I don't think I have. Okay.
So the most famous use of castor oil as a punishment.
I joke. I'm sorry. Go.
Most famous use of castor oil as a punishment came from the fascists in Italy under Benito Mussolini. It was a favorite tool used by the black shirts to intimidate and humiliate their opponents. A political dissident was force-fed large quantities of castor oil by the fascist squads, and victims of this treatment did sometimes die as the dehydrating effects of the oil induced diarrhea until death. And they would do this publicly. Like, they would just force feed you the castor oil and then, I guess, like, stockade you in public, and you would just shit yourself in public sometimes until you died. Sounds pretty fucking awful. And I have...
At least you're in a comfortable place.
What?
You're in the stockades.
In public. You would want to shit yourself in public. Till death. A comfortable place in a stockade in public.
I mean, it's better than being alone in your bathroom.
You have a weird association with diarrhea. all of these examples seemed okay to you. The last example that I have real quick is Geneva, my girlfriend, who also is a nurse, as we know. Some of us know. If you don't, now you do. Has a lot of funny stories. Not funny. Some of them horrible. Absolutely tragic downright. From this laxative that's commonly prescribed in hospitals right now, particularly if you're going to get in, if you're going to have a colonoscopy, but just in general, if people are impacted, this is like a first line of defense. It's called Go Lightly. And I think the name was meant to be ironic. It's spelled with a Y. And you literally drink, I think it's like 4 liters of this. And I looked it up. I didn't have time to write it all down. I just kind of looked this over before I came over. But it's a type of stimulant that it attracts water into your stomach to turn it's a stool softener. We said that that was one of the types. So you drink it, and you have to drink a certain amount throughout the day. So you can't just like chug 4 liters. I think you would die. So you have to drink a certain amount every once in a while until you finish the thing. And it's, I looked at the history of it, and it fluctuated from before you used to drink 2 liters of it to 6 liters. And there's all these different levels of strength, but it's a lot. It's this thing. It looks like a gas container, like literally like a big jug handle gasoline container that you fill up your car with, but it's clear and it says go lightly. There's tons of jokes.
It's a liquid? I thought it was not like a pill or
no,
something?
You're drinking this liquid, and how it works is it you know, it attracts, it's a bunch of things. It attracts water from the rest of your body to your colon and your intestines until it expands to the point that it forces it out. Like, as if your stomach expands to a certain point, I guess it like you hit like this emergency button and it shits it all
evacuation,
out.
Evacuation.
Yeah. And in the meantime, it's softening the stool to come out more easily. And then the most interesting thing is the reason why it worked is none of like, I think like less than 10% of it can be absorbed by your body. So you're basically irrigating yourself from the front to the back.
Yeah. I was curious. It's got to dehydrate you though, right? Because your body can't absorb
water. They cram
it
with electrolytes to help with that.
Oh, okay.
So the electrolytes—that's part of the less than 10% that your body absorbs—is like all these electrolytes, and it is. I guess it's hydrating you during, maybe a little bit. Like maybe there's some water in there, but yeah,
just enough to keep you alive.
It's been, yeah, it's been around for about 70 years, and there was like extensive studies of they had to like basically when they were trying to find this magical medicine. I guess they had to keep, it was a dense academic article. I didn't retain 90% of it, but it seemed like they had these people drinking a bunch of these different concoctions and then they would shit it out and they had to test how much of it they lost in the process, like how much of it made it through the journey to see. And that's how they figured out how much the body was absorbing of it. So they got a concentration that was high enough of unabsorbable materials because that's what it's meant to do. It's meant to flush you out instead of you drinking a bunch of shit that your body just absorbs and doesn't make it out the other end.
Just put a fucking camel bone in there.
Or you could do the camel bone.
You know?
You call the old anal shepherd.
I am curious though, like, are there any of the people that are like, yeah, I got like 1%. It's still in there. It's still in there, right?
I listen to me when I tell you the...
I'm so dehydrated.
I looked up all of there's memes about Go Lightly. It's a huge in-joke in like the medical community that like this stuff is like nuclear grade laxative. Yeah. And the stories that Geneva's telling, it's like no joke. This stuff will empty you out. Yeah.
Okay.
And apparently it tastes like shit.
Okay.
So if you're ever in the hospital and they're saying you're getting the Go Lightly, just remember. You don't.
You need it.
You don't. Go lightly. the name is ironic.
I did in the previous episode. I did promise a hospital story about this from my end.
Okay.
Basically, when I was in the hospital for my meningitis, I was given a lot of morphine because a lot of medical procedures were done to me. I had open burn sores or sores that were basically burn wounds on my body. I had like spinal taps done to me. And so there was morphine involved. And I won't go into the details of it, but there was a time, and it took about 2 weeks, I think, when I was like coming out of the haze of the coma drugs, where I remember my first shit out of the coma. It hurt so bad. It was...
So is this a laxative story or just a poop story?
It's just a poop story.
So were you like impacted from the morphine?
Yeah.
So it hurt because it was like a bunch of old shit?
What? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And I'm sure, you know, I'm sure things weren't moving well without the morphine.
I mean, did you wake up in a big pile of shit like from when you were under?
It took a conscious, it took like all fucking day.
Yeah. Did you do it into a bedpan, or did they just like stick you out the window? And
I think they gave me like a little toilet on wheels.
What?
Like with the so chair, good. Like a toilet chair. Anyway, that's my story.
Bring in Mr. Bobbity. It and was then Mr. Bob, because you're still a little high, Mr. Bobbity rolls in, he has eyes, and he's like, it's a living.
It was a children's hospital, too, so that's not totally out of the picture. Although I am going to sneak a poop joke in here. It is okay. It is okay to eat your own poop.
Right.
But not other people's.
Ah.
You can eat your own poop, but not other people's. Infocast told you first.
Because
it has to do with microbes. You wouldn't understand. Well, it's way above your head.
It's your microbes. You can eat your own microbes.
It's science, Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just can't eat other people's microbes.
Right.
Because then you're mixing microbes.
Right. You can't mix microbes.
Yeah, everyone knows that.
Yeah.
So, again, also referencing the last episode, if you smoke your own shit, it's okay, but you can't smoke someone else's shit.
Don't smoke anybody else's.
We told you last episode you can smoke shit. Edit. It has to be your own shit. It's right. The one time you can get high in your own supply.
Anyway, everybody, that is Dirty Bits for Laxatives. Thank you for coming on this long intestinal journey with us.
This or was it the lower intestinal journey with us?
Yeah.
Low. Because there was a lot of low-hanging fruit that we plucked. Shamelessly. For your benefit.
It was... I had a lot of fun.
You guys think this is easy? You think it's easy to get up here and make this many poop jokes? You think we had a good time doing this? No. No, we slaved over this, so please.
Okay. Oh, yeah. No, it was awful. It was awful. Right.
Baron.
Yeah.
Baron.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. It was a word.
Yeah, okay. That's more like it.
I hated it.
So because you feel so bad for us now, leave us a review.
What?
Leave us a review and tell us how much you love the episode. And check us out on the social media.
If you cannot do the mental gymnastics of whatever the fuck he just said, yeah, leave us a review.
It's common courtesy. You listen to this, we're clearly hurting,
but
go give us an Apple review, and you'll keep us in shoes.
Yeah. Give us a review on Apple. Tell a friend. Hey, we've got a fucking website WordPress.infocast5000.com. Go check it out. Go if you want the merch, if you like the artwork, go buy that. I don't, you know, whatever
fucking
you want.
Do it. Fucking go.
Just
come
check
on.
It out. Check out the transcripts. I got transcripts.
Do it, man. Go check out the fucking transcripts.
I have tattooed the transcripts of every episode.
He's tattooed
on my
the transcripts.
Chest.
He's running out
there
of space.
Are pictures on the website.
Tons of pictures. They're badly drawn.
What else?
Infocast5000 on Instagram.
Oh, you're not going to hype that up?
What?
You're not going to keep up the same energy?
Infocast5000!
Thank you.
Infocast5000! Shoot us a DM!
Infocast on Instagram.
Send us pictures of your cats.
Yo, try to get us promoted on Empire Records. We love that shit.
Okay, shout out Empire Records. And you know what? Shout out Sky Dragon. If you hear this, send a message. We miss you.
Oh, Sky Dragon.
Sky Dragon 69.
What you up to, man?
I haven't heard from you in a while. I don't know.
DM us.
If you're still listening, shoot a flare, man. Say hi. Send a little poke me on Facebook.
I think he got married.
No.
One of you guys got married.
What?
Oh. One of the Oddcast guys.
He's not. Yeah. He's a fan.
Okay. Yeah. Love you, Sky Dragon.
We love you.
All right.
We love you.
See you next week.
Sky Dragon.
See you next week with a fresh episode, everybody.
How's it hanging,
fresh
Sky
topic.
Dragon?
You done?